Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, indeed, Jesus, our Savior, is the King of Kings. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are in Romans 16. It seems like I sound like a broken record. I keep saying we're in Romans 16. Yes, we indeed we are. And we're looking at verse number 20, Romans 16:20, and it says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The portion of the text that we're going to be focused on today is that sentence, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, because we can look back this entire year and testify that indeed the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has been with us. And not only has it been with us this past year, but it promises to be with us next year. How we thank you for the grace. How we thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. The grace that can save a wretch like me. But not just save me, but also transform me. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify your name for that grace, that ability to transform lives, the power to transform lives. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I am not the same man I was when I first came to Jesus. That over the years, over the decades, you have been changing me little by little. It was not an overnight thing. It's been a slow progress, a slow work. But I thank you, Lord, because I can look back to what I once was, and I can see what I am today, and I say only by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. Bless this study. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. When I read the annals, when I read the historical records of Grace Christian Church, I would have loved to have been there in the meetings with Reverend Peak and all of the other founding members, because it reads that they came up with the name Grace Christian Church. And I would like to have been there just to see what their reasoning was in selecting the name Grace. It's a wonderful name. It's a glorious name. Grace is the most pivotal gift of God that we get through Jesus Christ. It's the most pivotal gift, grace. Grace, in other words, another word for grace would be do-over. You know, you mess up in the Christian life, and here comes the grace of God, and you get a do-over. Nowhere else, in no other institution, human institution, do you get so many do-overs. It's only by God's grace. By grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God. So I thank the Lord that our church name is Grace, because again, grace allows God continually work on a man or a woman over a long period of time. You know, we're not made what we are in an instant. Now, of course, we're born again. When the Holy Spirit comes and makes us a new creation, when we are a new man in Christ Jesus, the new birth is instantaneous. But that said, sanctification is not instantaneous. We go from positional sanctification, because we're sanctified in Christ, to progressive sanctification. It takes years and years before we are conformed to the image of his son. And then there is what we call ultimate sanctification. Ultimate sanctification happens at the rapture, when you are completely transformed and all sin is eradicated from your heart and your mind. So you have positional. It's that sanctification that you get the moment you come to Jesus. You are holy. You are sanctified. You are justified. You have peace with God simply because you came to Jesus. It's like the man at the cross. The man who repented at the cross. Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? Because Christ gave him positional sanctification. The guy never went to a Sunday school class, was never baptized, never functioned in the church, never served in the church. He was given positional sanctification. The moment he confessed Jesus as Lord on the cross, he was holy in Christ, sanctified in Christ. Now, not all of us die on the same day we come to Jesus. The rest of us must walk out this grace, must walk out this sanctification, and we walk it out over decades. And it is over decades that God works on us and molds us and changes us to what we are today. Today, if you've been in the Lord like I have for decades, you ought to be vintage. You know, they have a grape harvest, and the guy who runs the orchard, he takes the grapes of that particular year, and what does he do? He turns it into wine, and then he puts it in a wine cellar, and he lets it age. You have to age cheese. All fine things are aged, and that's what God does. If you're a saint that's been in the Lord for some time, you should have been aged. You should be vintage. You should be at your best. Why? Because there's this thing called progressive sanctification, where year after year, decade after decade, God begins to just cut the barnacles off your, you know, like the barnacles on a ship. A ship is at sea, and the captain says to the sailors, go down there, and the ship is going slow. We must have a lot of barnacles. And so he sends the divers down, and they start cutting off the barnacles that attach themselves to the ship, to the bottom of the ship, and they make a drag on the ship. Well, our sins are like barnacles. And the Holy Spirit goes down there and he starts to cut off the barnacles. Same way. So there's this progressive sanctification, and the only time your pastor, yours truly, will ever make it, will ever be right, is on the day of the rapture. And the same thing with you. That's why you have to be patient with me, and I have to be patient with you, because we're steadily moving forward by the grace of God. So, let's talk about grace. Paul says here in Romans 16:20, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What does he mean by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's a grace produced by Jesus. Think on this. Think of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the mighty person. Notice, it's not just anybody named Jesus. No, it's the Lord, our Lord. Notice that the word Lord is capitalized. He's the Lord of Lords. This is Jesus. Jesus, Jehovah saves. Christ, the anointed one. That the grace of our Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, the Savior of the world, Christ, the anointed one, let his mighty person and unlimited power be with you. In other words, Emmanuel. That's basically what this phrase means. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. One word, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. You see, You're going to need Jesus by your side. You're going to need his might. You're going to need his might. You're going to need his unlimited power to make it through the challenges of life. And this is why Paul says you need this grace. You need this supernatural ability. You know, this grace comes upon you, and it comes upon me. And it transforms us. And you say, how was I able to do that? How was I able to go through that challenge? How was I able to go through that trial? How was I able to go through that temptation? How was I able to say no to the devil when he was tempting me with dainty morsels? The answer is the grace. Jesus gave you the power to say to Satan no. Jesus gave you the power not to cry uncle when you were going through that trial. Jesus gave you the strength not to give up the ghost when you thought you were about to die. You're held on by the grace of God. You're held on by the mighty power, the unlimited power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you three things about grace. First of all, grace can be seen. Absolutely, grace can be seen. Let's go to Acts 11. You know, when I first came to grace and I was visiting, I came on a day that there was another preacher was supposed to show up, and I was looking at the members and I was looking at the church, and I saw the grace of God. The Bible says in Acts 11, verse 22, now news of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave to the Lord. You see, grace can be seen. How can it be seen? Well, Barnabas saw when he got to Antioch, the revival, you know, there was a revival going on here. And when he got to Antioch, he was able to see the grace of God. Well, what does that phrase mean? Well, he saw drunkards transformed, possibly prostitutes transformed, junkies transformed, adulterers transformed, homosexuals, fornicators transformed, thieves transformed. You see, that's what the grace of God does. The grace of God is transformative. Listen, like I said, when I first went to grace, I saw God at grace. That's what inspired me to apply for pastor. I saw the grace of God. And as I'm there now, as I've been there now for a full year, I see the grace of God every Sunday. I see God using people. I see people who were once quiet now singing and speaking and praying, and I see the grace of God. I see people going from one level to another level, from one height to another height, going from glory to glory. You're able to see the grace of God, God moving on people's lives in such a way as to what? As to transform them. Also, the grace of God can be known. The grace of God, not only can it be seen, it can be known. You can know it up in your head. You can know that you know that you know. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be what? Rich. You know the gospel record. You know what Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John all say. that Jesus was in heaven, that Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a babe. He became incarnate. And he wasn't born in the palace. He was born in a manger. Jesus was poor. He came to poor parents, came to a poor community, became poor. He who owns all things, he who created all things. You know this. This is the gospel record. That Jesus, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the wonderful, the Counselor, he condescended himself. He came down and took on the form of a serpent. As Paul says in Philippians, he took on the form of a servant. Jesus was lowly and meek. Now, why did he do that? So that you and I might be saved. We were poor. We were destitute. But he who was rich became poor that he might enrich our lives. This is the gospel, and we know it. We know it by heart. Jesus, our beloved Jesus. Think of Jesus. Think. You see, the gospel is the opposite of the way the world thinks. Well, if he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's got to be born in the palace. And if he's born, then we have to throw a party. And we have to tell the whole world, and it must be televised, and we must tell all the networks. And no, none of that happened for Jesus. He took on poverty that we might be blessed with eternal riches. We know this. That's the gospel message. Let me read to you Philippians. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Now, this is where Paul says, you too can, you see, when Paul says, and you know the grace of God, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did you see? Well, he modeled it. He modeled grace. Jesus modeled grace. Jesus was able to leave his throne in heaven, to come down to earth, to make himself poor in order to make ourselves rich. Well, Paul says, well, you should model that same grace. The same grace that Jesus modeled ought to be operational in you. Look what he says in chapter 2, verse 5 of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, it's a mindset. You got to know this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let this mind be in you. Exhibit the same grace Jesus exhibited. If he made himself poor to make others rich, we should do the same. That would be showing forth the grace of God. So grace can be seen and grace can be known. How do we know grace? The gospel message. But also, grace is sufficient. No matter what trial you go through, no matter what hardship, no matter what tragedy, no matter what painful episode you go through, Christ's grace, his power, his might, his person is sufficient for you and for me. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. The Apostle Paul was praying for healing. He was praying for a miracle. He says in verse 8, he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that this thing, this evil might depart from me. But Jesus spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength," notice, what is grace? Grace is having Emmanuel with you. Grace is having the mighty person and the unlimited power of Jesus Christ on your side. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and in necessities and in persecutions and in distress. Notice what he says. He says, listen, when I'm suffering of infirmities, when I'm being reproached, when I'm suffering need, necessities, when I'm being persecuted, when I'm in a tight place, when I am in distress, I take pleasure in those five different kinds of circumstances, because that's when the grace of Jesus Christ shows up. When you need him the most, Emmanuel is there. So Paul says to the church of Rome, he says, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, may the mighty person and the unlimited power of Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, be with you. What an awesome word. What an awesome word. The grace. Grace Church stands today after 148 years, gone through I don't know how many pastors. I don't know how many moderators Grace Church has had in those 148 years. Pastors have come and gone. Moderators have come and gone. Deacons have come and gone. Trustees have come and gone. Members have come and gone. Benefactors to the church have come and gone. Grace Church stands because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. She stands strong today only because his grace is sufficient for us. And it is because of his grace that long after I'm gone and long after you're gone, Grace Church will continue to stand. Praise the Lord, saints. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow's our last broadcast of the year, our last. Tune in tomorrow and be blessed with the lesson, the final lesson of 2022. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Don't forget to continue to pray for all the saints who are sick, who we prayed for last night in our wonderful prayer meeting. Continue to pray and believe in the Lord Jesus. Amen.
shining east.